What's up with Jessup? It's the only way to wake up. We state our views, state facts, and then afterwards we make up. From politics, business, to lifestyle, let's get this. Jessup Jong knows all the facts. He has no missed list. This podcast is your place for breaking news and hot takes. It's the only way to wake up. What's up with Jessup?
The economics of philanthropy. I would like to talk about the economics of philanthropy, things that seem altruistic, maybe even for the environment, the economics of selfless, or at least seemingly selfless, endeavors. And it's quite a natural feeling to be cynical about philanthropic actions. And I think for good reason. I think that when criticizing and analyzing politics, it always helps to have a cynical view in mind. Looking at the self-interest, pretty much thinking the worst in people, or at least expecting the worst, and then pleasantly being surprised with true selfless behavior. I think that is just a healthier way of thinking about things, because it's just that you're bound to be disappointed if you do not think in those terms. I've published an article, or at least I've written an article, I don't know exactly where it is, but I did write about the tax benefits that billionaires can have from donating money. And I think that, just a second, I'm going to record this later. I'll come back to this. Just a second. It's easy to think that there is a... we're back. There is a interest in mind. And billionaires such as Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates, they did not become rich by just giving out money for free. There's always a reason. And, even in philanthropy, you talk about strategic investment in the sense that you want to use your money wisely. And it has to be serving a purpose. And whether it is self-serving or whether it is for the good of humanity, that is for you to decide. And my thesis and my outlook on life is that the two does not necessarily have to be juxtaposed. They do not have to be in conflict with each other, mostly because you can truly be for humanity and altruistic purposes and still get a self-interest or a benefit for yourself. And so I've looked into Mark Zuckerberg's donation into an education system, about $1 billion of donations, you can look it up, and the tax benefits of doing so. And so a really interesting way of thinking about these things is not assuming whether the actual donor had good or bad intentions. It actually does not matter, in the sense that you only look at the actions, because actions do speak louder than words, and analyze what the benefits are and what the costs are, who it benefits, and potential reasons of why someone would donate into a certain interest. And so another example is quite recent Elon Musk's $100 million donation, quote unquote, to reducing carbon or recapturing carbon. And so I think that is a very worthy cause. And hearing about Elon Musk talking about the issue highlights more insight. It provides more insight into why one might do such a thing. So in the requirements of such an endeavor demonstrates that the business plan, and it is a business plan, the endeavor has to show that it can recapture a significant amount of carbon, but at the same time, it must also calculate the costs and benefits of such an endeavor. And in order to do so, Musk points out two guidelines in analyzing cost and benefit. One is scalability, and two is cost. So the plan has to be scalable, largely scalable, while being cost efficient, in a sense that there has to be a product, or there has to be a way to recuperate the cost so that it is possible to scale it even more. It has to be sustainable in that way. And that's not the sustainable in the sense of environmental sustainability. While the project is tailored towards environmental sustainability, that is economic sustainability. So there is this rhetoric where people go for environmental sustainability or education, educational sustainability, right? People sustainability through education, in terms of Mark Zuckerberg. And there, that is a really altruistic and selfless act, but at the same time, it is useful for the person donating that money, because it really achieves something that the donor is trying to do. And so in Elon Musk's case, the purpose is this. You have 3 to 4 contestants that will win a lot of money, which amounts to $100 million, but the lump sum is not to one contestant. While it seems like it may be, it's actually many. And I think that is quite efficient, but the large total of $100 million makes that record of being the largest incentive prize. And then at the same time, it brings in more attention and contestants, because that one big chunk brings in that attention. Whereas if you actually compete, 30 million will probably be, or maybe 50 million will probably be the largest sum of money that you earn. And so this plan seems quite in accordance with Peter Thiel's venture capital firm, the Y Combinator, where you pretty much brainstorm and crowdsource ideas. And so Tesla, with the acquisition of SolarCity, has quite a monopoly on solar power. I would say in the United States, it's considered one of the biggest. I don't know if it's the biggest, but it is one of the biggest. And with the plan of requiring the SolarCity panels to be only sold along with the Tesla battery pack, kind of shows that this sustainability is also an empire of an industry in the energy industry, and having control over that does equal sustainability, but at the same time, it also includes market capital and market equity. And so while the sustainability portion does indeed appeal to the sustainability and environmental friendly regulations and sentiments, the move is strictly business, in the sense that it has to make business sense in order to pursue an environmental friendly project. And fair enough, that's how companies are supposed to earn money. And if a corporation isn't earning money, that defeats that purpose. And so it is quite interesting to analyze these seeming selfless and philanthropic initiatives in the framework of interest and profit, benefit, and compared to cost. And so coming back to this lump sum incentive of $100 million, what Musk is pretty much doing is opening a competition of ideas. And Elon Musk himself is probably thinking about ways to recapture carbon. Tesla, his company, in addition to the SolarCity acquisition, signals a business endeavor that tries to monopolize on sustainability. And that's fair enough, because that is a quote-unquote sustainable way of bringing in profits, both in terms of climate change and environment, but also economic. And so what happens is Elon Musk gets the inside information, pretty much, by requiring these companies and endeavors to share their information, specifically on the points that Elon Musk is interested in, to gain that knowledge and pick the most profitable ones, the most promising ones. And so he would have first pick in that. One good thing is that it doesn't ask for a ownership in part of that endeavor, which is quite surprising, because I would imagine that would have been a more business aggressive pursuit. But as it is a philanthropic or nominally selfless endeavor, that does make sense. But going forward, right, $30 million is probably not enough to fully scale up that endeavor. It's probably good for a test run. And Elon Musk has shown a determination to say that he is willing to invest more. And invest here is the key term, because after that $50 million that's invested into that corporation or endeavor, the additional money would come with strings attached, in the sense that they would be a diluted or non-dilutable ownership stake in that company or ownership of the endeavor. And that is really the best use of anyone's money, because IPO companies, companies that are already public, do not grow exponentially, whereas startups, such as those invested by Y Combinator, or those that Elon Musk is looking at in terms of recapturing carbon, is truly an explosive market, because you start from zero, you invest money into that initiative, then you gain more than 100%, sometimes 200 to 10,000%, oftentimes much more than that gain in investment within 5-10 years, because the business plan is already proven. You interview the jockeys or the people running the endeavor, and you have a high level of confidence, probably because they've shown a history of serial entrepreneurship or successful endeavors. And so from Musk's perspective, it makes complete sense to do so. And so breaking down all these interests of philanthropic endeavor, as selfless as it might seem, such as the carbon recapturing program, we see that there's a lot at stake and there's a lot to be gained from this project. I would say same with Hyperloop. Once you see that endeavor, what you would do is, with Hyperloop, you buy out the people who did the best, or you use that information to learn and do an even better job in doing so. So all of this being said, I still support sustainability measures, but it is a good way to analyze and bring insight into things that might seem completely self-interested. And maybe it might be the only way where philanthropy and selfless endeavors are truly sustainable in an economic manner. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you liked it, don't be too greedy. Share. Share with other people so that other people can learn from the same information that you do. So share this. I also have 2 books out, especially the book on Amazon. You can search my name, Jessup Zhang, on Amazon, and you will find the book Human Suffering. The Kindle version is out, and the paperback will be out soon. It is delivered to all regions and locations. So if you're interested, let me know, and you can buy the book. If you've bought the book and you're a fan of the podcast, please feel free to send me a message of what you thought about the book, and I'll feature your question or comment on the podcast. So share the podcast and buy the book. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.